The market for our houses is still pretty hot as well. Australia's housing market is at risk of a major crash, according to the global economic body, the International Monetary Fund. In its latest report on housing stability and affordability, the IMF says property prices here are as much as 50% above what an average household can afford, and that our property and rental markets are some of the most misaligned in the developed world. And it warns of a sizable fall in prices as interest rates continue to rise. We're joined by economist Martin North of Digital Finance Analytics for some reaction and analysis. Martin, good afternoon to you.
Hi there.
You've expressed similar concerns in the past. What do you make of this report?
Yes, it is worrying, of course, when these international organisations come out with such strong messages. But in this case, they're on the right track, because we know that households are highly leveraged in Australia into property. We've had a massive misalignment over many years, which is a structural problem. It isn't just an interest rate problem. And they are calling it out. Of course, the question is, will the local policymakers and the regulators here do anything about it, or will they continue to argue that Australia is different, nothing to see here, and move on? I think there is something to see here, and we have to actually take this seriously.
The IMF says we're now out of whack in terms of the long-term ratio of incomes to house prices and rents. House prices were 30% above the long-term average, and rents were more than 40% higher than usual. Is this failing capacity to service a mortgage or pay for rent sustainable?
No, it's not. And let's face it, we have been in a situation where the interest rates were cut significantly, lending standards were reduced dramatically, people were able to get much larger mortgages, that pushed house prices up. As house prices went up, banks were able to lend more. So we had this virtuous cycle on the way up as interest rates were cut. And it's worth underscoring that the price is definitely connected to availability of credit. Now, on the rental side of the sector, a lot of people who are renting, of course, are private landlords. They, in turn, have to borrow money from the banks. So when interest rates are actually dropping, they can leverage themselves up and perhaps get multiple properties. But then they want to try and cover the costs of those when rates are rising with higher rents. So it's all connected. And it's all back to this question about what is a sustainable level of property price, and that we have chased ourselves into a situation which is now unsustainable. Of course, unwinding it, that's going to be the very difficult part, because interest rates are now rising. They will continue to rise. People are going to find it harder and harder to make these repayments, particularly when inflation is so high. So effectively, people's disposable income is being crunched from all quarters, whether you're a renter or whether you're a mortgage holder. And now we know rates will stay high for quite some time, even the RBA is saying it. So this is looking like a very uncomfortable 2 or 3 years for us, I think.
Do you think the fears of a housing price crash, quote, comparable to past episodes of housing busts, unquote, are justified?
Well, I've been around the traps long enough to see property prices slide in a number of countries around the world. In Australia, we've sort of pretty much avoided it. Even post the global financial crisis, there was a bit of correction. But again, the banks were able to get support from various quarters to be able to keep the scheme running a bit further. This time, I think, may be different. Why? Because I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to see interest rates coming back down to the ultra-low levels that we had under a year ago, frankly. So people are going to have to get used to paying higher mortgage rates. The borrowing power of people have reduced by about, let's say, 30% on average, so you can't get as big a mortgage as previously. That's going to put downward pressure on prices. Now, the good news is, if we can actually get property prices down to a more reasonable, sustainable level, and we hold the prize for some of the most unsustainable property prices in the world, that's actually long-term a good thing. But of course, in the short term, that means that people are going to see their equity dissipate, which means that the wealth effect is going to go into reverse. So people are going to feel less affluent, and that means they're going to probably spend less. So there are economic consequences. There are also consequences on the banking system, because, of course, 65% of lending is for mortgages from the banks in Australia, which is higher than almost anywhere in the world. If prices come back and if default rates rise, that's going to put pressure on the banking system and financial stability. And, of course, we've had the housing cycle stoke the GDP number. It's been one of the major reasons why our GDP has been relatively strong. That could mean that economically our performance is weaker too. So wherever you look at it, you know, there are consequences at a macro level. But down at the micro level, I'm concerned about individual households because, you know, more people are finding it harder today than ever before. And yet we still have people, well, frankly, spooking property even now and saying, of course, it's going to go up again. I don't think it will. I think this is a whole new world. It's a world of pain, unfortunately, and we have to actually understand that there is now a new reality in town.
Do we understand that? The IMF's repeatedly warned that our housing values are at dangerous levels. As you say, we have some of the most expensive real estate in the world. It requires a larger share of income to pay for than almost anywhere else. But we continue to think we're fine. Why is that? Is it because that in the end there hasn't been a big crash, that the prices have continued to rise despite those concerns?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been saying this for quite some time, but, you know, everybody thinks Australia is different and somehow magically we managed to muddle through it. Now, remember, the banks get massive support from the government, from the term funding facility previously and indirectly from the, you know, the rating of the country, right? So there's a bunch of reasons why our banks are actually more insulated than many others. And households, of course, have got used to putting more and more of their income into housing. So effectively, it's like the old story of the frog in the frying pan. You know, you turn the heat up and the frog sort of doesn't notice and just continues to sort of sit there. That's what people have been doing, but they've got themselves now so highly leveraged. There is going to be a break point, and I guess the question is, will the break point be gentle or will it be more of a crunch? We could definitely see prices drift sideways for quite a long time. That would be, I guess, perfection, but I think it's more likely that we're going to see a fall. If you look at all of the glorious property price bubbles around the world, they've always come to an end with a bit of a crunch. I think that crunch is probably likely now, and I think the IMF is calling it out. I think our own local regulators and frankly state and federal governments need to wake up and smell the roses here. And just talking about supply side will solve it, or migration will solve it, is missing the point. This is a credit-driven bubble. It was a deliberate policy over 20 to 30 years. It's coming to an end. We now need a plan B.
The IMF also says our rents are the second worst behind New Zealand. Rents are rising at the most rapid rate in 10 years, and that's likely to get perhaps even worse with a vacancy rate that's at an all-time low of 1%. The Federal Housing Minister says the Albanese government's committed to dealing with issues around the housing market. The government's recent energy move, I guess, has shown it's not adverse to a bit of market intervention or price control. Some are suggesting that some sort of rent increase cap may be considered in the new year. What do you think?
Well, they have a sort of a bit of meddling or intervening, depending on how you define it, I suppose. But look, a lot of those private landlords who actually are in the investment sector are, of course, struggling with those higher interest rates. So essentially, if you control the rents but allow interest rates to rise, then it's going to be the landlords who are actually going to be compressed. And interestingly, about 20% of property investors have already left the field now. So that's one of the reasons why we have an investment price issue and why we have a rental price issue. There are less properties there. But I think the real problem is we've outsourced the rental sector, and particularly the lower affordable rental sector, to the private sector rather than actually recognizing that there is a role for government, particularly with affordable housing in the rental sector. I think we need a broader strategy here about affordable rental housing, but I'm not sure that rent control and putting effectively acid back on private property investors is the right way to solve the problem.
Could be an interesting 12 months, Martin. Thanks very much. Martin North, economist with Digital Finance Analytics, looking at our oh-so-hot housing market and what might happen next.